This is a journey where it's taking you and you on this. Because we are a living stones. And God is building his church with no noise. You know, Jesus told Nicodemus, you know, the spirit goes and comes and nobody knows. You know, it's just like the wind. You know, you don't know. You can see the wind, but you see the trees moving, so you can tell that that's a wind and you can tell what it's doing. And that is the same thing with the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, you don't see nothing sometimes. And then you get a little frustrated, you know, all these years and you don't see nothing. But you know what? You don't know what God is doing. You don't know what God is doing with me, with her, with you, Henry. We don't. But then we see the fruit of what he's doing. See? You cannot see the Holy Ghost. You cannot see God working, but you can see the fruit. You know, when the trees start moving. That's God. And when God comes and starts moving, you know, in the congregation, you know, where's God? Well, just give it a chance. Be patient. Because God said, I will not forsake you or leave you. Where two or three gathered together, I will be. So he's here. You came with more than two. So he is God. Amen. So let us stand for one reading of the scripture. Quickly, I want to go to 1 Peter, 1st chapter, verse 7. And I'd like to start with that one. This is part two. I told you it's 40 parts, 40 years, one for every year. But don't worry about it. Next time I come back to preach, you know, we just continue. Little bit here, little there, chop, you know, here, chop, chop there until we get done. So, let me find the scripture here. Oh, we read it from there. That the trials of your faith be much more than precious than that of gold that perisheth. It says, through it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity that we had to even mention your name, to worship you, to adore you tonight. Father, you know what we have needs. We come into you and lay at your feet. Teach us, Father, those things that we have to know. Father, those things that is needed. Father, and let your spirit help us so we cannot be only hearers, but doers of your word, Father. We want to become that word. But we want to be the word in flesh once again. So, Father, we ask you to come, Father, and give us what we have need tonight. In the name of Jesus, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to do something a little bit. I already talked to the Sam Booth and William. So I want to read a portion of a message, 62, 1, 2, 2, 3, the reproach for the cause of the word. And I want to read a few. I read this one, I think, this morning, but I want to read you some more. It's so nice. God has a time. So, at his time, when he gets ready, he will do what you desire. But his time, not your time. And the reason for that time as well. He knows what he's doing. To fulfill his word, God knows just exactly what he is going to do with you, with you, with you, and with you. So surrender to God. Do unto me. But he knows. I'm glad that he knows. And there is nothing going to go wrong with what he has planned to do. God has a plan for my life. I'm glad. Because I tried plans and they are failing, all of them. But I'm glad that God has me. And I am in his plan. It is all has to come about. There has to be. Sometimes it's rugged and hard things to only bring out the real true nature of the object. And I told you this morning that is what God is doing in your life. So you understand, you know, God in reality, not just 2,000 years, God in the cross, history, no, a God of the future. No, he wants you to understand the God of the present. See? So he has to take you through little things so you can know him, actually. So I count all joy when I'm tempted You know, because he's doing something in my life to show me who he is a little bit more, a little bit more. I told you, in your patience, you shall possess your soul. And patience brings experience, and experience hope. And hope will not shame you, you know. So, experience is needed at work. If they hire you, you better have some experience. Well, why should we hire you, brother? Oh, because I know. Well, how do you know? Well, I Googled it, and this is how it's done. Do you have any experience? Well, no, but I want to be a brain surgeon, and I studied it. I Googled it. I know how. Yeah, yeah, don't touch me. Brain surgeon online. No, sir. You want to find a doctor that has experience. Yeah. So when you're walking with God, you have to have experience. This is not a one time. I got the Holy Ghost 40 years ago. You have to experience God in your life daily. Yeah. Because the more you experience God, the more patience you will have with God, and the more you will wait for God. But it takes experience. So all the things you're going around and things are happening in your life, so you can gain experience, and you experience who? God in your life. So nobody has to tell you how to do things or what should I do. No, you have experience. You have experienced him in here, David. David experienced God, you know, when he was a little shepherd out there, you know, the lion and then the bear. And he knew that God delivered him from all those. He knew it was God. What was God doing with David? Experience. Slowly. So when it came to Goliath, it was no problem. Because I have experience. And the more you experience God in your life, the more you can deal with the challenge of your life. You said, if he did it here yesterday, he will do it today. Got a little reverb here. So you need to experience God. You know what? Well, my mom is a Christian. That's too bad. You have to experience God on your own. The same God that you experienced, you have to experience in your life. You're not go in the coattail of your mom make it to heaven. You have to experience God in your own personal life. I don't care how small. You don't have to wait until you get to 30 years old like me to accept God and start experiencing God. You know, just like Brother Doug, 28, I was around the same time, 20, 29. You know, I stopped asking God why, not sooner. Well, that's not my business. I'm glad that I'm in. That's all I care. You know? So, okay, let me continue here. So, 78, it says, you know, rain is born in a jagged, ragged, lining, stove, thundering sky. Sounds like a lot of noise, huh? Sounds like a lot of things are going on. And if we didn't have rain, we wouldn't live. But you see what it takes to bring the rain? Thunder, lightning, flashing, anger. Seems like the sky is angry at you. And out of there comes what? A blessing. Sometimes life gets that bad. Rugged. It's hard. It's difficult. You know, noise here, noice there, pressure here, pressure there. You know, noise here, noise there. But if you just trust in God, stand still, you will see victory in your life. Because the rain will come. All that noise that you hear, all the dark sky, when you look at it, if you get scared, you know, you fear that. But you know what that's telling me? Rain is coming. If I be patient and stand and wait, there will be a blessing on all the dark sky. Because God did not send the dark sky for me. He sent the rain for me. But it takes that. But Brother Branham started to compare that with our life. We're going to get there in a minute. Let's read the other one. Let's see what I put it here. The other one is in 79. A seed must die. Rot, corrupt, smell, and go back to the dust of the earth in order to bring what? New life. And that's what this journey is all about. You got to die to yourself. The whole journey is that to the stinking self. Rot out, smelly. But until there's death, there's no life. If the seed fall into the ground and don't rot out, it cannot produce life. Oh, so 80. It takes the pounding of what? Of gold. Turn over and over. Thank you. I feel the Spirit of God right on me. He says, you know, some people said, I had a vision. I had the Holy Ghost. But if you experience the Holy Ghost in your life, in these mortal bodies, it make you shake. You know, when I get nervous, when I get my heart start pounding, I don't say, oh, I'm getting sick. I say, thank you, because that's the presence of God. We cannot stand in this body in the presence of God. You know, that's what we need, to change our body. So excuse me if sometimes I look like I'm going out of breath and I'm going to faint away. No, it's just like I'm feeling. And as a mortal, it's hard to take, Brother Henry, the anointing. So it takes the pounding of gold, turn over and over, back and forth. We don't like the pounding. Yeah, we don't like the pounding until the dross is taken out of it. Not because it shines, because iron pyrite shine, what is known as full gold, shine like gold. And it's getting a little warm here. Real gold, but you put the two together. You set them out side by side, and you can hardly tell them apart, see? It's just like a false bill and a real one. I cannot tell them apart. You know, you have to be an expert to tell them apart. But put them together, you can tell it. And the beater always has to beat till he sees his own image reflecting in the goal. The journey is until God can see Jesus reflecting in you. Amen. Until that happens, we're still here. So the beating will continue until God can see his reflection in our lives. Amen. So you say, but that sounds bad. Well, it all depends which way you're looking at it, right? Okay. Let's see what's the next one. Now I'm going to my notes, fellows, my notes. Now, before we continue in this journey from Exodus to the Promised Land, the going out in the natural and the spiritual sense, I need to look at some events, you know, some backgrounds, because it will make more sense to you, the journey. So first, to understand this journey, we need to understand that God already planned everything beforehand. This is not something that God is doing in the moment. See? He planned all this way back then. He promised Abraham, I will give you the land of Canaan. But he didn't get it right away. It took years. They were in bondage for 400 years. It took more than 1 or 2 years. See? So when God promises you something, we don't know when. He don't tell us when. He just said, you can have it. It's yours. Until when? I don't know. Wait 25 years. But the thing is, when God promises you something, it is just as good as done. Amen. See, if two of you can believe about anything, if you can believe, you can have anything you want to. See? According to the word of God. But you must what? Believe. That's all we have to do, brother. Doug says, the only thing we have to do is what? Only believe. And if you can believe, your attitude should be that you already have it. Maybe you don't have it physically. Maybe your health is not there yet. But you're claiming your health. And once you accept your healing, That's the end of it. I got it. The blind man went a whole week. I'm blind, you know, but he would pray. But he was still blind the whole week. He didn't know when, how, and where, but he knew one thing, I can see. And that should be our testimony. Always positive. 62, 81. And God sets a time and has a what? A purpose. For everything that he does. That tells me that I need to have a purpose. A life without a purpose is a life that is empty. You know what? Excuse me. If you don't have a purpose, it's just like, excuse me. I get the change of weather from Michigan. Oh my goodness, 57, 55, 60. Nice and cool in the days and warm. And then I come over here to this heat. 100 and something the other day. So, but we're going to continue. And God said times and has purpose for everything that he does. There's nothing happens just accidentally. You know, God is not playing a chess game with the universe. God is not surprised what Satan is doing. See? God is not reacting to Satan's challenges. He already ordained everything. And he knows the beginning from the end. So nothing is going to surprise God. Because he already ordained and planned everything. And he has to go according to his plan and his will. Even Satan. So, there's no accidentally that those who love the Lord and are called according to his calling, see, we are what? Predestinated. And everything worked just right. Amen. Now, I hope you can say that when you're in the middle of the storm. And somebody asks you, how are you doing? Well, then they tell you the first pool, second pool, and third pool, you know. Wow. Oh, they're miseries. Not you guys. You guys are better than that. But you have to hear the whole story. Well, I went to the doctor and this happened. That's okay. If you go to the doctor, excuse me, how are you going to tell people that God healed you from cancer if the doctor don't verify that, so you have something to say, I had it, but God healed me. Amen. I heard about a church that they all got sick. And I asked them, did you guys went to get checked for coronavirus? Well, no. Why not? You know, well, they didn't want to be a data. You know, they didn't want to be a number. You know how it is. It's just a number. So the church all got sick. But they came out. They went through it. And now everybody's fine. See? But how do I know that was what they had and that was God did for them, unless they went and had themselves tested? Brother Branham did the same thing. Go to the doctor, find out about that boy that was dead, when he died, give me the certificate, so I have a proof that God did something. Amen. That we are not making things up. So if you had to go to the doctor and the doctor said this and said, you have cancer, thank you, doctor, I appreciate your help, thank you for helping me, but, you know, my God is my healer. Amen. See, now you know how to pray. Now you know what spirit is tormenting you. But if we don't go to the doctor and we say, God healed me, but how do I know? It wasn't coronavirus. It was just a call. See. But anyway, according to his calling, see, predestined, everything worked just right for that, because he cannot lie. Amen? And he said that was so, that everything has its time. And that is the hard thing for you and I. Wait for God. But you have to be patient with God. Because in your patience, you shall possess your soul. See? Because impatient people, you know, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to make God do what he promised to do when you want it. You know, I mean, God is not something that you can pull and you know, tell him, this is what I want you to do. You know, we just have to wait. Because God knows what's the perfect time And what is perfect for you that is going to create that, you know, that experience that is going to be dear to your heart, you know. He knows. So it was so. He said, and God is behind every move. I'm glad that I don't know if I turn left or I turn right, forward, backwards. I know God is with me. That's what you have to pray. Whatever you do, whatever move you want to do, make sure that it's the right move. And there's only one right move, his move. And then you don't have to worry about it. But in this journey, it is his move, not yours. And everything has its time, season, and has its way. See? And God is behind every move, and sometimes you think that everything is going wrong. See? It is up to us. Those things are put upon us. Trials, I just read you trials, and wondering. It is a what? A testing. God is testing us to see if we're going to believe. What's going to be our reaction? To see how we will react on an action. See? The doctor said this, and you said, well, my God said this. That word says this. See? God is waiting to see how you're going to act. Not how you're going to react, but how you're going to act. See, you don't wait for somebody to tell you something then to react. You're already ready to act. When Satan comes to tempt you, you already know how to act. David knew how to act because the experience he had. See? He didn't say, well, I don't know, let me study this. It looks like you guys could be right. Or no, he says, let me at it. The God that took me from this, and this, he will give me that uncircumcised Philistine. Amen. Ephesians. We're going to read in a minute 4, but before I do that, the Lord promised Abraham and his descendant this full possession. I told you before, this wasn't something that just got started doing. God already had a plan. Your life is being planned before the foundation of the world. Before Adam got lost, it was already a plan to redeem him. There's a plan. And we trust God for that plan. Amen. According to he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, holy. Why? Because we should be at the image of God, and God is a holy God. Amen. See? Without spot, without wrinkle, a holy people. Amen. See? That's what matches the vision. Because God is holy. He says, chosen him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in what? In love. Without wrinkles, without spot, holy. Amen. A holy nation. Brother Branham says in the voice of the sign, 61, he says, what did it do? It cleaned out the blackness and made him all white. Amen. What color are you, brother? I'm black, but I'm all white. I might look like an Oreo cookie, you know, black outside, you know, the chocolate ones, and dark outside and white inside. But see, they just, color don't matter, you know, we all white. There was a seed laying there, predestinated seed that was in the, it was God's thought before the foundation of the world. Do you know that you are a thought of God, an attribute? Amazing. I can't even fathom a thought of God walking, talking, you know. It says, it was God through before the foundation of the world. There is only one form of eternal life, he says. And if you got eternal life, then you yourself was in God thinking before the world was created. That was your beginnings. Now you started when you recognized who you were. But that's not your beginning. That's your starting in the journey to shape you and to mold you. But you had no beginning and you had no end. I told you this morning. He says, yourself was God thinking before the world was created. You are an attribute of his thinking, a thought. He says, because eternal never did begin, never can end. You are a part of God's economy. He says, always, it is just reflecting. It's becoming now. See? They got one more picture to develop. That's death. See, that is the final, you know. Brother Man said death is just the little, you know, limousine that's going to take us out of here. That's my last trip. That's to heaven. Then the negative becomes what? Positive. Then you are in the bride and with Christ and his thoughts. Like husband and wife today, so God, Christ, and the church will be the same today. Now, the elected is called. Amen? Second, the Lord has orchestrated all these events. And the reason he orchestrated all this event to get him out of Egypt, to leave Egypt, that's something that Moses figured it out. Now listen, Exodus 1, 10, 11, 14. Come on. Let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there fall out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did. They set over to them taskmasters that afflicted them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, those two cities, and they made their life bitter with hard bandages and mortar and bricks and all manners of service in the field. All the service where they made them serve was with rigor. So what's the reason? What's happening right here? Listen, before this Pharaoh came up, because they didn't know God. This Pharaoh didn't know God. But the one that Joseph used to serve, see, they came into the city, and Joseph they gave him the best place, the best property. You know, it was Happy Valley, the Valley of Goshen. They had good houses. Listen, they were not living in mud houses. You know, they was out there in that hill, you know. and they had everything. They had good property, good land. They had cars, they had houses. They were not living in poverty. When Joseph came and told the king and they put him in that place, listen, they were living it. They were not poor, you know. There was not a slum. So what happened? What happened when everything is going good? You don't want to leave. Brother Henry, they have jobs, they have money, they have car, they have houses, they have everything they wanted. So they lay back and said, I'm happy. Do you think I want to leave the Goshen land, Happy Valley? No. So God has to do something. It was God. See? God had to prepare them to go. But if God don't bring all this stuff for them, they would have sat there like, are you happy? We all happy. See, they would not leave. And that's what happened to the church. I think that this coronavirus came because I think the church is too complacent, too relaxed. God had to check the nest. We're sitting like nothing is going to happen. I mean, we know it's going to happen, but we just, okay, let the world fall apart. You know, we're okay. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. Are you okay? Yeah, we're all okay. We have a church, nice pastor, nice pews, nice chairs, nice car, nice houses, nice job. Hey, Happy Valley. So God says, you know, we need to do something, because in the situation, they will not want to leave. Brother Branham says, everything that I have done in my life, God, he says, God has to make me, drive me to do those things. Humanly speaking, when you are okay and everybody's okay, you don't want to go anywhere. You're happy. This is a happy place. Who wants to leave this place? So God brought the taskmaster, afflicted them, but with the purpose of what? To make them sick enough to be sick that they wanted to leave. And that's what God is going to do to us one of these days, because we are sitting. We got night clothes. Nothing wrong with night clothes. and money and a tank full of gas. But if God don't make us desperate, we just sit. That is a human thing. I mean, it's not like you're wrong. Because everything that I have done, God has to make me. God has to drive you. Because the human sense of you don't want to move. He wants to relax. We're chilling out here. You know? I'm good. See? So God brought all these things to what? To make the church to move. So, and I think we are in the same. We're coming to the end. So God has to make the church, make her uncomfortable. Not that God wants to. But if God don't make us uncomfortable, we do not get up and go. So, that's what God did. He says, he comes and let us deal wisely with him. That's why the tax master, you know, and to me, what did that mean to me? Sometimes God lets Satan and the spirits and those demons come and give you a little hard time. See? Because sometimes we are too relaxed. And we're supposed to be getting ready for what? Not to stay here. Not to be comfortable in church. There's nothing wrong being comfortable. But we should be preparing to get to leave this place. Amen. But it's going to take a God to do something to make us what? Get sick of being here. And I think this coronavirus, it was not for you. But it's, I make a lot of churches think about what we had. Oh, remember when we used to get together? But God is doing something. I believe God is shaking everything that's going to be shaken, you know? Because it is time to move. It is not time to sit and be complacent. It is time to move, to get ready. See, one of these, that was the reason that the Lord caused the tax master and the afflictions, see, to make them what? Uncomfortable. They were too comfortable. See, they had tacos and they had restaurants and they had food. I mean, who wants to move? You know, otherwise, they would never have wanted to leave the place. Sometimes God has to do certain things just to make people even come to church. You know, 9/11, everybody went to church. Hey, the whole church just got full. What happened after? When everything settled down? The church just... Today, the same thing with coronavirus. Now there's revivals everywhere. Now the churches are full and people are, you know, they said they're in revival. And I know they have to. Because the foolish virgin has to get into that revival mode before. See? So when I see the revival that's going on in the churches, I know something is going on. See, Brother Brown says here, the eagle stirs her nest. He says, so there comes a time that this little eagle just got it awful soft. I hope those shirts are not awful soft. Awful soft. He says, walking around in sheepskins. Oh, because that's what the mother put in the bottom of the nest, you know. Soft. He just got the Holy Ghost and he just about be burned the town down. See, but you know what? He can stay in that nest all the time. I believe that God is moving. And it's going to make our nest a little uncomfortable. I believe it will come the time that it's going to be a little uncomfortable. He can stay on that nest all the time. That's what the matter with the Pentecostal church. That's what's the matter with the Methodist church. That's what's the matter with all the churches. He said, it is staying too long in the nest. So you know what happened? The old mother comes in the nest and she takes that same beak and then she dubs it up with and pulls everything, every bit of the sheep skin out, every bit of the rabbit fur out, and throws the thing out of the nest. And she makes the nest. So what? Are you miserable? You're comfortable. Right. Face it, we are comfortable. Amen. We know where our next meal is going to come. We know we got money in our pockets. So we be careful because we get so comfortable that God is shaking the world right now. And we should be paying attention. He's shaking. See? And I think what's coming, the time that he's going to do, the shaking everywhere, even in our churches. It says, she makes the nest so miserable till they cannot even, sit down. You know, God knows how to make you willing to do things. Right. Because you were not doing willingly. Right. They didn't want to leave Egypt. They were having a feast. They loved the garlic, the onion, the fish, the restaurant, the eating. Be merry, you know. The piñatas, whatever. Anyway, they love all that stuff. So God has to do something, you know, to make you move. God knows how to make you willing to do things. I am glad. You know what? If it wasn't for God, I'd probably not be here. But it was God that had to drive me. Wow. It makes my life miserable. Not miserable for God, but the world, you know. The more we get complacent in the world and things, then God had to make us miserable. If you are complacent and you are happy and you feel a little miserable, then God is trying to say something to you. You know? God knows how to make you willing to do things. That's happened to many of your families. God, he had to say it. See, he said it. Certainly it is. He just pulls all the soft pass out, so you walk in thorns. Well, in here in Tucson, we know what that is. Certainly, he says, every time he sits down, it is on a thorn. See, he jumps up, he becomes discouraged after a while, and I think if there ever was time for the Pentecostal, for the Message Church, ought to be discouraged, it's now. It's now. So you know where we are now. It says, we have denominated what? Ourselves. Right. Let's bring it here. Let's not leave it out there with the Pentecostal church. You know, there's a lot of people that come out of the denomination, but the denomination don't come out of them. Right. They still come with the same ideas. I know a pastor told me one day, you know, you might be a Puerto Rican, you know, but Puerto Rico hasn't come out of you yet. I said, of course not, you know. But that is the thing. People come from other churches and from other places. Well, that's not the way we did it in our church. Well, that's, you know. Why? Because you can take them out of the church, but you cannot take the church out of them. True. Somebody got upset in here, and I must say, because we know. Got upset in here because he didn't like the way we do the communion. Well, and then, you know, the Bible said or whatever, when I came into the message, they take the bread and whatever is left and they burn it before the sun up, you know, before next day. Because that's what the Bible says that the Levite used to do. But then Brother Doug will take it, whatever is left, outside the deacons will take the plate and give it to the little kiddies to eat it. And somebody got upset. It came from another church. Said, that's wrong. You know, every church is autonomous. We are not cookie cutters. Well, we have to look like that church and that church and that church. We got our own leading of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit. So the reason Brother Doug did that, they didn't even care to ask him, was because in Jeffersonville, he asked how they were doing, how Brother Branham used to do it. And that's how Brother Branham will do it. But no, the guy got mad and left. Why? Because it didn't happen the way he thought it should happen. Certainly. He put the soap out, you walk in thorn every time, he sits down and thorn, and you jump up and down because you are discouraged after a while. And I think if there ever was a time that the Pentecostal church act to be discouraged, is now. See? It says, we have denominated ourselves. Build great barriers of lines. See? What do we have to have so many, you know, message churches? Well, I understand. You know, we can have one in every corner. When Brother Brown was preaching, there was one in every corner, you know. So, but the point is not how many churches we have, it's how we get along. We don't believe, we believe the same thing, right? But see, we denominate, you know, we separate. The message didn't come to separate us, the message came to unite us together in one accord, in one mind. Amen. But why we don't follow through with that. You know, if I go, when I went to visit Tina, or I went to Brother Paul, I feel just as welcome as here. Why? Because I'm part of the body. I don't care where I go. We family. The only thing is that we have one in here, one in there, but we all one big family in God. So I should not feel different because I'm in the church. You know, that is different from me. And they do things different. See? You know what? Sometimes I get upset because sometimes disagreement is all feelings. It's all preference. You know, I prefer my Spanish music. I prefer Spanish speaking messages, pastors. But that's what I prefer. But I got what God gave me. This is what God gave me. This is what I got. And I'm happy because He knows better than me. So we should be one. He says, great barriers of line. One's assemblies, the other one is oneness, two-ness, this and that, and the other one. And then we just build such lines and barriers that till there's stick here and a stick there and a sticks everywhere. God is going to stir this bride. Because this rice has to get together before we leave. God is not going to take one part and leave the other part. God, we all belong to God. He takes all what belongs to Him. So He's going to have to stir us. He's going to have to stir them. He's going to have to stir this little bride around the world. It will be coming one man in one accord. We don't have to be located in the same place in another side of the world, not here. But we have to be one in one accord, in one mind, in one word. And put aside all these denominational thinkings, you know, that people bring to the churches. This and that, stick here, stick there, stick everywhere. What's the matter? God fixing to what? To take us out of it. Now, I have not seen that yet. So I'm trying to tell you what we are in this journey. We are complacent. We still have our church, and we still have church, you know. And everybody's doing the same thing. But God is going to stir the nest. God is going to stir the churches until we can start looking for one another. You know what? All these days, almost, they close the churches, you know, for a while. And you sure will be glad to find another believer. When you're there alone, struggling, I don't care where he comes from or what church, you would like to find one believer. But right now, you got many, so we are fine. They open the churches, but one of these days, the churches are going to be closed. And you'll be glad to find, I don't care if it's from that side, north side, west side. It doesn't matter if it's out there from Africa. But as soon as you believe like you, you're going to be glad to find one, because God created us to be social, kind of a people, communion. See, God created us because He wanted a family. He wanted a communion. He wanted fellowship. That's why we do what we do. That's why those people out there do what they do. They're sociable because God is sociable. God is a family-oriented man. God created us this way. So that's why, you know, people after this coronavirus, they're relaxing and they're going out. Why? Because they cannot be in a home locked up forever. God did not create you to be locked up. God created this church so we can have fellowship. That's why you like to come. I don't believe you can be happy locked up in your house for a whole year. I mean, the reason I went to Michigan, I was just going crazy. I need to go out someplace. 6 months locked up in a house. I needed to go, you know, and do something. So that was my excuse. Just to get out of my house and spend 3 days going, 3 days in everywhere and anywhere, just to kind of cure myself, you know, or being in a house locked up all this month. Why? Because that's how God created us, to have fellowship. But you know who wants to cut the fellowship? The same one that cut the fellowship at the beginning of the world. You know, when Adam fell, what was cut? The fellowship between him and God. Satan is roaring like a lion, you know, making all this noise, trying to cut the what? Coronavirus has cut a lot of fellowship. People are dying in hospital with their families, not even present, alone. That's Satan. And he's doing the same thing with the church, God in the fellowship. You know, after so many months being at home in the internet, some of them, have found that, that's cool, Why? I don't know. I miss the fellowship. The reason I miss the fellowship is because that's what God created us for, to have fellowship with him and one another. So, and then God fixing to take us out of it. That's exactly what it is. Them little old eagles get tired of sitting down and them storms. Sometimes when you pray for your children that are out in the world, what do you pray? Well, if you pray like me, I tell God, make his life miserable. Make it so miserable that he wants to come back. Oh, brother, you are mean. No. He had a good when he was here, so now he needs to, if he thinks that that's better than this, he will never come back. So something has to happen. God has to make his life miserable. Because it's not because God hates you or hates them, it's because God knows what's best for you, and he needs to drive you back home. Back home. So that is not an act of meanness, that's an act of love. Drive you back home. Drive you back home. To have fellowship with God. Now, several things took place when they were preparing, when God was preparing the children of Israel. Here in Exodus 7 to 10, let me see if I can. 7 to 10, it says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cries by reason of their taskmaster. See, for I know their sorrows. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee to Pharaoh, unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forward my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Like I told this one in my testimony, God saw my sorrows, but he made my life impossible, not him. You know one thing, let me explain this to you. This is God holding your life. As long as God is holding your life, you go fine. Now you take God out of your life, and what happens? So isn't that God's fault? No, it's not God's fault if you're miserable. It is because something has changed. You went away from God. Not that God left you. God never leave you. But when you leave God, it is you on your own now. And the only way to go when you leave God is down. Down and down and down and down. And then start digging your own grave, your own hole, and down, like I did, down, until it gets so dark and so cold. But thank God for his mercy and his grace. He says, so, the first says, he wanted to get the children out of Israel. They were under a bondage, under this evil, cruel king and taskmasters afflicted them. But God has to make them miserable. Remember this. When your life gets a little bit miserable because spirits are attacking you or possessed by demons, it is not because God's trying to do something bad. In actuality, God wants to take something bad and make it good. Amen. God don't want to destroy you, see? So be encouraged, brothers, because God can see your headache, the things you're going through. See? And the thing that you're experiencing, he has not forgotten us. He didn't forget Israel. He will not forget you. In this journey through life, he knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly he's in control. Listen, nothing will happen to you unless he allows it. And when he allows it, he also had the way out for you. So what a deal. He let it happen and he's going to take me out. What do you have to do? Just believe. Remember, sometimes God don't answer prayers immediately like he did with the children. They pray out. They cry out to God. But that don't mean that God did not hear you. I remember Isaiah. He says he prayed. And it took 21 days for the answer to come. And the angels that were sent with the answer, they apologized. They said, forgive us because we had to fight so and so and so and so. The devil don't want you to get a blessing. And he's gonna find any way that he can to stop that rain to come. But you just believe, just stand and see victory in your life. Be patient. Victory is coming. The rain is coming. When you hear all the noise that Satan is making and all the roar and coronavirus here and this here and that there, and you hear all this noise going around, sit still. There's a blessing coming for the church. See, so remember, God heard your prayers immediately, just like in the case of Israel. However, things will be done in His perfect time. You know, when it comes, that was the perfect time, Brother Henry. Is that when you wanted it? When did you want it? Oh, yesterday. Yeah. It will come when you really, really, really need it. Amen. In perfect time. See, He will deliver you from any affliction, because God is merciful and He's a loving God. So, listen. Pray and pray. And never dismay, because your victory is coming. Conclusion. Well, I'm going to let you out early. I don't know yet. The point. So the point that I'm trying to make is this. There's evil spirits that God will allow and He will release. Maybe your husband, maybe your child, they're going through things. I know my child went through, my boy, you know. And I only can talk about my family. I don't know your family. I don't know what your students are going through. The only thing I can tell you, I know what my and I have gone through. That's my experience. Sometimes that preachers, we make ourselves so open and sincere that sometimes we make ourselves vulnerable, because people say, ah, now I know why you are that way. Oh, now I know why you had that complex, because your father did that. No, but let's check out your life first, you know, before we start talking about the pastor. We become transparent, trying to illustrate to you a point. And if you want me to use your life, send me some emails of what's going on in your life, so when I get to the pulpit, I talk about you. No, you probably get no emails. So I have to use my life as an example of what God has done, trying to illustrate a point that He can do the same thing for you. But if you're too, you know, and we are sincere and honest about it, but some people like to take and latch onto that. See? Don't do that. Don't do that. Because, like I said, I don't know all the way to illustrate you a point. So, my boy goes like that. And I told my boy one time, listen, it is hard. You know, I love my boy. And it was not an easy thing, you know, to do. I told him, you know, if that's what you're going to do, you need to go. In fact, I help you. I'll find your place. Just like Brother Brown told Billy Paul. I'll find your place and I'll help you with the rent. And he was working, once you get going and everything, you know. You're on your own, but I said, I'm going this way, and you're going that way. How can we agree and walk together? So as soon as I'm going this way and you're going that way, we have nothing in common. You know, but you think I let him go and that was it? No, I still pray. God is going to bring him. God is slowly dealing with his heart. He's going to church finally as a family. You know, family changed a lot of things, you know. As a family, he knows, you know, the importance of church. So, it's going to get there. You know what? I'm claiming them, Brother Jose. I continue claiming them. You and your family, I still have a claim on them. So, I don't know how far, but I'm patiently waiting, see? Praying, see? So, where was I? It says, God allowed this spirit, these afflictions, for a time. I'm glad that it's for a time. Amen. You know? Because I don't know if I can put up with those afflictions and all that. You know, people are tormented sometimes for years. Like that woman with the blood issue, 30-some years, 20-some years. And that one that had 1,000 spirits, you know. But just for what? For a time. So I'm glad that nothing lasts forever. So when you're in a situation, in a trouble, remind yourself, this is not going to last forever. As soon as God do the work that He needs to do on you and you learn, it's gone. hey, you might have to go to another different one, because we are not done until we are perfected. See, sometimes God is doing a work in this journey, and then God comes and delivers us completely, so we are free again to serve God. See, that is the whole key. How much do you love God? You know, how much do you want to serve God? Well, I want to be healed of this for what? To stay home? I mean, I ask that to people, you know, when they're sick and they want me to pray for them. I mean, people that are Christian in the street, I say, what do you want to be healed? So you can continue in your drinking and your smoking and your bad habit. Now you got cancer, now you need prayer. What are you going to do? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God creating and shaping you in such a way that when the test is over, there's victory for you. You are a better person than you were when you started the test. But God knows that. God knows that. God delivered us from problems, situations, bondages. And God desired to lead us to something better. See? And that is the reason for God doing everything in your life. To take you from something that is bad and moving you in something that is better. Amen. So, Lord, do as you please with my life. I know, so I don't like this, and I don't like pain, and I don't like suffering, and a stick here and a stick there, but God is doing a work in my life. And that is part of the work that is in my life. So don't complain. Don't get into this mood, into this rut, and into these things, because kind of all joy. Oh, yeah, well, that guy was crazy. He want me to have joy when I'm going through all this stuff. You want me to smile and pray. Yeah, it's hard. It is hard. I'm a human just like you guys. Who likes pain? Who likes suffering? Who likes affliction? Who likes to deal with this temptation? Who likes all this stuff? But God, we deliver us from all the problems. So God is not only want to deliver us from this world and the things of this world, but he wants to bring us to what? To maturity. I told you this morning, the whole journey is to bring you to what? To maturity. It's not the end, but it's bringing you to that point. Because from that point on, then it's the fullness. You know? It's the inheritance. A spiritual inheritance. You know, every promise in the Bible is mine. See? The whole journey is now the whole journey is to know him in the power of his resurrection. That's what Paul says. All I want to know him is in the power of his resurrection. Let me finish with this thing here. No, I thought I was going to let you guys go early. I might let you guys go early. No. So, I will. I myself, I'm a little tired today. After driving all that driving and having all that fun, I came home Wednesday. I was tired after driving, you know, 2,000 miles. And then I started working on the message. And then by Saturday at 1 o'clock, okay, I'm not going to give excuses. Okay, I'm just not going to give excuses. But thank you. I appreciate, you know, the opportunity and the privilege to come and the honor that God bestowed me to stand here and do a service to the portion of the bride. I'm glad that because it's not me. You know, I am a very shy person. You know me now, but I'm very shy, and I'm not a people person. Really, I'm not a people person. In fact, I prefer not to be seen and not to be heard. That's me. That's my melancholy. That's the way I am, mate. I'm wired up that way. So somebody told me, that's kind of funny. First, you preach. You don't want to be seen. You don't want to be heard. And you play the trumpet. Yeah, that's good. You don't want to be heard. You don't want to make noises. You want to hide in the corner, not making all that noise and all that rattling that you do. I said, well, that's not me. Because if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be up here. I'd be quiet in a corner there, you know. I'd stay away from all the, you know, noises. I don't like noises. You know, that's what I don't like in New York. I mean, you're from New York, you love New York, and that's fine, but it's too busy for me. And I've been in New York. You go in those streets, I mean, it's just like a river of people. And if you don't get off in the right place, you know, yes, you go with the crowd. And I get nervous, you know. You guys looking at me from the beginning. I've been trying to, you know, control myself and get stable. You know, finally I'm done. Now I'm good. But I'm not that type of person. So, but it is all God's mercy and grace, and it's an honor that He allows me to do a little bit for the kingdom of God. So shall we stand? So the journey, we never came out of Israel. Maybe we come out of Egypt one of these days, and we get introduced in the promised land after we finish with all this happened here, all the testing that we're going through. But remember, when your God gets impossible, when your life gets impossible, and sometimes it's miserable, and you think there's no end to it, and you want to just give up, remember, just hold on. There's a victory. There's victory for you. Because Satan is God allowing Satan to do that for a reason, to shape you and to mold you. When you come out of that experience or that test, then you have more experience. Next time it will be easier and easier and easier until you get to a point that you are surrendering completely to God. And Satan comes and says, "That guy again? Yeah. No. I have already tried him. It's done. He's no. Why don't you go, Satan, and bother him? No. See? Why? Because that guy, instead of me giving him a hard time, he gives me a hard time. It got to that point where we don't let anything, you know, get the best of us. But God. Amen. So thank you again, and you guys being so kind, and thank you for your the way you embrace me and the patience to hear me. I don't like to hear myself anyway. You know that I don't listen to my sermons? I hate that voice. I hate the way. Who is that? Oh, man, that sounds awful. I don't listen to my sermons after I preach. But I'm glad that you had to put up with me until, you know, this. God has given you grace to put up with it. No, you don't put up with it. I love you, so let us pray. Father, we thank you once again. Father, for this chance that we had to come together and talk about you and just have fellowship around the world with you. And Father, to come together as brothers and sisters and have a little time together, Father, to around this word of God. Thank you, Father, for allowing us that privilege, Father. I know one of these days, things are going to get a little harder. Not yet, Father, but I know that before your coming, Father, or we going out of here, we're going to get to a point that we want to get out of here. And you have to drive us to that, Father. Not that you're going to do something mean and bad to us, but you're going to have to shake us somehow. You're going to have to make us, Father, get ready to leave Egypt like you did with your people in Israel. Because there were no other way. You had to make them. You had to make us do things. And we know that, Father. So when things come to our life, all the challenges, all the circumstances, everything that comes to our life, we don't look at it as something bad. Even though there's bad things that happen to good people, to Christians. But we look at those things as a challenge to be what you call us to be, to believe your word and to act upon your word and not upon our feelings and outside. Father, because this is a journey by faith. That's how we walk this journey. Father, we don't understand everything, and we don't declare that we know everything. But Father, I am glad that you're leading us, you're guiding us. You guide all our steps, Father. And we are trusting you, Father. And I thank you tonight for what you have done in my life, in the life of my brothers and sisters. But the reason we are here is because you have driven us slowly. Father, I didn't know nothing about this message, but you drove me right into it. Father, I didn't even know I was elected. I don't even know I was predestinated. I just wanted to get out of hell. But you showed me more than that. But it's not because I was a good person. In fact, I probably was the worst. Like Paul says, the chief of sinners. I'm not happy with the things I've done. But I'm glad that guy is gone. I'm a new creature in Christ. And now I'm in a new journey, part of a journey now. And this one will take me clear to heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Father, shape me, mold me, make me. Father, you have to do whatever you have to do. And I know that if it is you doing it, it is worth it, Father, because you don't do nothing halfway or something that is going to be just for pain and suffering, but you do it because you have a perfect purpose in everything that happens in my life. You have a purpose for my life, and I'm glad that you have a purpose for my life, and I want to have a vision of that purpose, because that purpose is that vision of me, the way you saw me before the foundation of the world. But we thank you again, and thank you, and thank you, and we don't even know we have words to tell you. We thank you for what you have done, Father, in our lives. We love you, and Father, forgive us for our shortcomings, forgive us for our mistakes. Forgive us when sometimes we just make wrong decisions and elect choices. Father, forgive us. But our desire is to be like you. Our desire is to do your will. Our desire is to do your word. Yes, we fall. But I'm glad that you forgive us and you lift us up and you put us back in the journey. Father, we ask you to be with the pastor, whatever he is tonight, with Sister Jennifer. We ask you to keep him and protect him, cover them, Father. From any temptation, from any things that the devil might put in their way, obstacles, Father, protect them and bring them back sound and safe again to the fold, Father. We love you and thank you, Father, for this church, for the people, everything that you have put here, Father, so we can come to maturity. Father, thank you for the ministry. Thank you for the musician. Thank you for everything you have done. Father, so we can grow. We can grow and be mature children of God. Thank you, Father, because that is the reason for this place. Is so we can come to maturity, to the head that is Jesus Christ, our Lord, Father. In Jesus' name we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you. He is worthy, and he deserves all the glory and the honor. He is worthy tonight. I don't know, what are we playing? I need now under your. That's what I want to find myself. Amen.